My message, titled, is "It's All About You, Jesus." And that's what we should all, who should we all be focused on? Because he is the only one with the power to save and to give us entrance into the Father's home and to share with him. The reading I want to read to you, I want to thank Rob first of all for the opening reading from Isaiah this morning, 53:1-6. And obviously, you think, as I've already said, that was over 450 years before Christ's birth on earth. But, you know, it just reminds me that even then, Isaiah knew it was all about Jesus. He knew that the Lord had plans, as Jeremiah did as well, to prosper us, not to harm us. And he had plans for our future. And Jesus is our future, the only future that we can have. I'm going to read from Matthew 15:1-20. Then some Pharisees and teachers of the law came to Jesus from Jerusalem and asked, "Why do your disciples break the tradition of the elders? They don't wash their hands before they eat." Jesus replied, "And why do you break the command of God for the sake of your tradition? For God said, 'Honor your father and mother,' and anyone who curses their father and mother is to be put to death. But you say that if anyone declares that what might have been used to help their father and mother is devoted to God, they are not to honor their father or mother with it. Thus you nullify the word of God for the sake of your tradition, you hypocrites. Isaiah was right when he prophesied about you. These people honor me with their lips, but their hearts are far from me. They worship me in vain. Their teachings are merely human rules." Jesus called the crowd to him and said, "Listen and understand. What goes into someone's mouth does not defile them, but what comes out of their mouth, that is what defiles them." Then the disciples came to him and asked, "Do you know that the Pharisees were offended when they heard this?" He replied, "Every plant that my heavenly Father has not planted will be pulled up by the roots. Leave them. They are blind guides. If the blind lead the blind, both will fall into a pit." Peter said, "Explain the parable to us." "Are you still so dull?" Jesus asked them. "Don't you see that whatever enters the mouth goes into the stomach and then out of the body? But the things that come out of a person's mouth come from the heart, and these defile them. For out of the heart comes evil thoughts, murder, adultery, sexual immorality, theft, false testimony, slander. These are what defiles a person, but eating with unwashed hands does not defile them." So reads the word of God. Let's just pray. Dear Lord and Heavenly Father, I pray that you will open up your message to us this morning. Lord, I pray that you'll just take me out of it, because we only want to hear from you. So anything that's not of you, just blow it away, Lord, like chaff in the wind. So Lord, I just pray that you'll just strengthen me now and embolden me to deliver your word in your power and with your strength, and that we will all receive a feeding and a blessing from it. And we ask it in Jesus' precious name. Amen. Amen. As I said, it's all about Jesus. You know, from that reading from Matthew, it seemed to me very clear that the Pharisees were very religious. Very religious. They were so religious they didn't care about anybody else or anything else, only what they considered to be important. They were more concerned about ceremony and tradition rather than following the teachings of the commandments. As we read in verse 7, Jesus reprimanded them, calling them hypocrites and referring them to Isaiah's prophecy, as we read in verse 8 and 9. These people honor me with their lips, but their hearts are far from me. They worship me in vain. Their teachings are mainly human rules. You know, it's a sad fact that the same thing is going on even in some of our churches today, where the main emphasis seems to be on tradition, repetitive rites, and all of the gloss of the dressing, the garbs and the processions and all the rest of it. And I find that very confusing. And I'm a Christian. I know that it's tradition. But can you imagine what a non-believer feels when you're brought up in that tradition like that there? They think that that's the right thing. And that's all there is about Christianity, is following the tradition. In the world today, there are many who choose to live a sinful life and see nothing wrong with it. There are some who think nothing about stealing or hurting someone else, or even going to the extent of killing someone just to get what they want. And they have little or no consideration for either the victim, the victim's family, or friends, or God for that matter, because they have no conviction. And you know, I was a bit like that before I came to the Lord. A lot of things didn't faze me. I never gave them a second thought. I could watch somebody doing something wrong and think, well, it doesn't affect me, you know, and think nothing of it. But now, with the Holy Spirit prompts, and when I see something wrong, it actually, I'd say, hurts me. Spiritually, it hurts me. It's hard to explain, but I'm sure you all know. I'm sure you've all been through the same sort of confusion at times. This should not surprise us, you know, that not much has changed regarding the human condition, because this has been going on since the fall of Adam and Eve. In Romans 3:23, I'm sure you all know this verse, "For all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God." God was so gracious, though, when he realized that human beings were not capable of keeping the commandments, that they were actually fell far below. And you know, you break one law, you break them all. And that's what the Lord realized. And in his mercy and in his grace, the only remedy that he could come up with, well, not that he could come up with, that he came up with, because he could come up with any resolution that he wanted, but the resolution he came up with was the second covenant. And that was, as John 3:16 tells us, "For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life." Jesus was our sacrifice once and for all. There was no need to go back with another bull or a lamb, to go on to an altar, to be slaughtered, to clear us. He was the ultimate sacrifice that covered all of our sins. This was our second chance, as it were, through the birth and crucifixion and resurrection of Jesus. God made it possible for us to come back into fellowship with him. The only way we can do that, though, there is a clause on there. We've got to put our faith in his Son and accept him as our Lord and Saviour. When we've accepted Jesus as our Lord and Saviour, we receive the covering of his justification, bought and paid for by his precious blood that was shed for all who will accept God's precious gift of salvation. And there is only one way to accept salvation, and that is to accept Jesus as your Lord and Saviour. It's important to understand, though, that when we accept Jesus as our Lord and Saviour, that we're not promised that everything in the garden will be rosy. In fact, I would say the opposite is more likely. Things may get a bit more difficult with people that you love and know. Even our own family and friends, they may not share in our newfound happiness. They may even take the mickey out of you. It happened to me when I first came to the Lord. I went out like Billy Graham, being a little evangelist, running around knocking on my mate's door, and his mother came out, Davy Law. His mother came out, and I said, "Is David there?" He said, "No, he's not. Why?" And I said, "Yeah, I want to tell him I've come to the Lord." She says, "Get away from here, you know. Who do you think you are? Billy Graham?" And that's where I said, "Billy Graham." You know, but it didn't dampen my spirits then. But you know, it's like your first love. You know, when you're first in love, you can't do without the person. You think about them day and night and all the rest. It was the same with me when I came to the Lord. I was thinking about him all the time. But as you get older, when you get married and you settle down, you've had 3 or 4 kids and the years go by, things seem to settle down quite a bit, don't they? There's not so much urgency in the romance and all the rest of it. And it's the same can be with us Christians. We can let things get so blasé where we take things for granted. And that's something that we need to remind ourselves of and to pick ourselves up on, because the Holy Spirit will be pointing at us from time to time, telling us, you know, who do you think you are? Where does your strength come from? And we've got to be honest about it. The only strength that we can claim is our strength is in the Lord. Jesus didn't promise, as I said, that everything would be easy, but he does promise that he will never leave us alone, that he will always be with us. If you look at Matthew 28, verse 20, the last part of it, 20b I've got on here, which I'm sure you all know, "And surely I am with you always, to the very end of the age." Now that is a promise that's worth holding on to. It doesn't matter what walk of life we came from or what we had done in the past. When we come to the Lord, he wipes the slate clean, and we have got a clean spirit to go on. And not only does he wipe this slate clean, he empowers us with the Holy Spirit to be our guide and to keep us from going too far off track. We will go off track from time to time. Everybody does. But there is always the turning back, repenting. You know. But the most important thing in the Christian life is to keep going forward, one foot in front of the other. Because standing still is backsliding. You're not making any progress. And the way this world is, you get swallowed up. So you've got to keep going forward. It's like swimming. If you stop swimming, after a while you're just going to sink, aren't you? You've got to swim to keep afloat. It's exactly the same. If we've accepted God's gift then, and made Jesus our Lord, there's a lovely old hymn, and I'm sure you're well aware of it, but I'm going to read it out because I think the words are fantastic. And I claim these, and I'm sure you do as well. "I'm accepted, I'm forgiven, I am fathered by the true and living God. I'm accepted, no condemnation, I am loved by the true and living God. There's no guilt or fear as I draw near to the Saviour and creator of the world. There is joy and peace as I release my worship to you, O Lord. You know, beautiful words. Now that sounds very simple, doesn't it? But we humans are stubborn by nature. We require proof before we accept most things. And we can be just like Doubting Thomas, needing to see and touch before we believe. In John 20, 24, 25, we read, "Now Thomas, also known as Didymus, one of the 12, was not with the disciples when Jesus came. So the other disciples told him, 'We have seen the Lord.' But he said to them, 'Unless I see the nail marks in his hand and put my fingers where the nails were and put my hand into his side, I will not believe.'" You know, if we're honest, we can be just like Thomas, can't we? The good news is that the Lord knows just how feeble each one of us are. That's why he gave us the Holy Spirit within all of us who have put our trust in him, so that we can draw on his strength to see us through. Philippians 4:13 reads, "I can do all things through him who gives me strength." We need to remember that all things were created by and for him, in heaven and earth, visible and invisible. And I believe that, as Paul tells us in Ephesians 4:1-8, and I have no apologies for reading scriptures because scripture tells it better than what I can. "As a prisoner for the Lord, then, I urge you to live a life worthy of the calling you have received. Be completely humble and gentle. Be patient, bearing with one another in love. Make every effort to keep the unity of the Spirit through the bond of peace. There is one body and one Spirit, just as you were called to one hope when you were called. One Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is over all and through all and in all. But to each one of us, grace has been given as Christ apportioned it. That is why it says, 'When he ascended on high, he took many captives and gave gifts to his people.'" Lovely words there. And so true, but the bit that I want to point out is when you were called. You were called, you were chosen by God. And when you think it, when you're chosen, it's like that, a lovely hymn, it's like, "I'm accepted." Yeah, you were accepted by God and chosen by him. And that is the one thing that you need to remember. You know, that he is, it's all about Jesus. It's not about us, although we think it is from time to time, but it's not. It's all about Jesus. It's all about Jesus. You know, if you belong to the Lord, then you have a gift, or even gifts, depending on his graciousness and what he wants, his calling on you. But if you've got gifts, you know, gifts are no use. I mean, I've done it as well. You get a gift at Christmas, a pair of socks, and it goes in the sock drawer, and you forget about it. Yeah, I don't really like them, but put them away. A gift is no use unless you use it. And if you don't exercise the gifts that the Lord gives you, then they're not going to get strengthened, are they? It's like muscles. You've got to use them to get strength into them. So God has given you a gift. I would say use it. If you're not sure what it is, ask him. And he'll tell you. He'll point it out to you. God has a purpose for us. And the purpose that he has for us comes with the gifts that he's given us. Because he won't ask you to do anything without the proper tools. and he'll make sure that you've got it. Paul's instructions, as we can read in Ephesians 5, 1 to 11, this is what we should do. Follow God's example. Therefore, as dearly loved children, and walk in the way of love, just as Christ loved us and gave himself up for us as a fragrant offering and sacrifice to God. But among you there must not be even a hint of sexual immorality or any kind of impurity or of greed, because these are improper for God's holy people. Nor should there be obscenity, foolish talk, or coarse joking, which are out of place, but rather thanksgiving. For this you can be sure, no mortal, impure, or greedy person, such a person is an idolater, has any inheritance in the kingdom of Christ and of God. Let no one deceive you with empty words, for because of such things God's wrath came upon those who are disobedient. Therefore, do not be partners with them. For you were once darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. Live as children of the light, for the fruit of the light consists in all goodness, righteousness, and truth. And find out what pleases the Lord. Have nothing to do with the fruitless deeds of darkness, but rather expose them. Strong words. And they're not necessarily easy instructions to follow, are they? If we try to do it in our own strength, we're going to be like the swimmer who stops swimming. We're going to drown, because we won't have the strength to succeed. We need to rely on the Lord and the power, his power, that he will give us to cope with all of that. You know, it sounds silly to a lot of people. You know, whenever you talk about believing in the Lord, some people will laugh at you. I know when I was in Iraq, and Rob will probably be aware, you're walking around and people will be shouting at you, "Oh, there he goes, he's in the God squad." You know, but you know, they meant it as an insult, but I took it as a compliment, because I'd rather been in God squad than any other squad, because at least I know the purpose that God has for me is one to look after me and to bolster me. And you know, the Lord has been gracious to me in lots of ways. Lots of ways which I only noticed when I look back on my life. Because as I say, you go through life and you take things for granted, don't you? And it's only when you look back and you can see how gracious some people have been. Linda for accepting my invitation to get married, for one. And I believe that she was a gift from the Lord. And at times she's a bit like the Holy Spirit. She keeps putting me in order from time to time, you know. But that's fine. I need it. But, you know, we all need it. But the one thing that we need more than anything else is brother and sisterly love and care and consideration for each other. And, you know, that's one thing that the Lord covers quite well in all things. For God is love. And love covers a multitude of sins, doesn't it? You forgive just as the Lord does when you love people. We need, as Paul tells us in Ephesians, to put on the full armor of God if we're going to be successful. The belt of truth, which we need to make sure is firmly around our waist. Why? Because when you look at things that are going on in this world today, the change in the law, things which are against the Lord, the laws of God, are acceptable now in law. And if you cry out about it, you are in a sticky wicket, as it were. But you need to be aware of what applies to the world and what applies to the Lord. We need to have the breastplate of righteousness and our feet fitted with the readiness that comes from the gospel of peace. The shield of faith to deflect the arrows, the fiery arrows of the evil one, and the helmet of salvation. The helmet of salvation is a lovely thing, because who is the head of the body? Christ. And what do you want to protect? The head, because the head is where the brain is. The helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, the Word of God. And we are called to pray in all occasions. And that is all occasions, not just when we're feeling weary and low and down. And you know, when you call on the Lord, it doesn't always have to be a wish list. It can be a thank you list. You know, he's like any father, loves to hear from their children. And one of the nicest things to do is when you give a gift to someone is to hear them say thank you. In fact, sometimes when you give a gift and you don't get a thank you, you think, wrongly, but it's human nature, you think, what's the last gift they're going to get? Well, they're going to get a lot less next time, you know? But that's human nature. But it's lovely, and the Lord is no different. He loves to hear from his children because he loves each one of us so much. We're also called to pray in the Spirit. And you know, why do you think that is? It's because the Holy Spirit knows the condition of our hearts. And if we pray in the Spirit, then we can only pray in truth. Not in a wish list of what we want, but it's His will. Thy will be done, not my will. And that's what we need to remember. We should take everything to the Lord in prayer, trusting and depending and knowing that He will meet all our needs and then some. And you know, He answers prayers even before we've prayed them, because He knows what's in our heart through the power of the Holy Spirit. So I think I've tired you all out so far. I hope you enjoyed your extra hour in bed this morning. I'm glad to see that there was nobody standing at the door waiting to get in whenever we arrived, because it has happened on occasion before. But let's just come to the Lord in prayer. Dear Lord and Heavenly Father, we thank you that you loved us first, and that you sent your Son to be our once and for all time sacrifice. And Jesus, we thank you that you were willing to do that. And Lord, we know that it's all about you, because without you, we are useless. We can do nothing. But Lord, we lift up to you those who in our families have as yet not called on your name and accepted you. Lord, we just pray that you will be merciful and speak to them. And Lord, who knows, you've got it all planned at the right time. The time that's right, you will call them. We don't know when is the right time, but you do. As the Father knows the time when the Son will come to reclaim his bride for his own, and only he knows. You know everything. So we give everything to you, and we ask that you continue to bless us and to be with us and to strengthen us as we continue to walk day by day towards your light. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.